Having a baby isn't easy for everyone. Today marks the beginning of Fertility Week. It's a campaign that aims to highlight some of the challenges that people face in their quest to start a family. One of those people is Sean Resnick, believed to be the first single man in Victoria approved to become a parent through surrogacy. Here's what he said on ABC local radio in Melbourne this morning.
But I was waiting for Mr. Right to come along. Nothing, you know, scares a guy off more than first date and you say, hey, do you want to have kids? And I just haven't found Mr. Right yet. And I thought, when I turned about 40, I realised, you know what, I'm going to give this a go. I'm going to do this alone. I finally got the courage to do it. And that's when I embarked on a local surrogacy journey.
The last financial year has seen the biggest increase in fertility treatment in over a decade, according to the latest figures from the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority. Dr. Lynn Burmeister is a fertility specialist with over 25 years of experience and my guest. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So with this big increase, have you noticed any trends since the pandemic began of who is accessing these services?
Yeah, I think people are sort of thinking about what's important to them, and I think they're sort of going, well, having a family is important to me. I think the pandemic's taught people that. And I think a lot of people are either egg freezing, or we have seen a dramatic increase in egg freezing as well. Sperm freezing as well, we've seen an increase in that. And also couples assessing IVF therapy. So a dramatic increase over the last couple of years. And particularly even younger couples now, because it traditionally was women over, or couples with where the woman was over 37, they would be seeking fertility treatment. But we're now seeing even younger people, 30, 31, 32, coming into the clinic a bit earlier than what they would have traditionally.
What have your clients been telling you about why they're coming to you and what's driving their choices?
Well, I think the single people are driven by their age. So there's more awareness that our eggs age and our quality particularly drops after our 35th birthday. So I think they're more aware. There's more education out there. And so a lot of women are coming even at 28, 29 to get their egg bank assessed, and also asking to egg freeze. Like a lot of career women, there might be a partner. The woman might want to be a partner in a law firm and says, for instance, you know, I'm not going to have a baby till I'm 38, so I want to get my eggs on ice now. So there's the career women, and then there's the majority are people that are just single and they can't find a partner.
And what types of assisted reproduction are we talking about?
So that's egg freezing. So, and then we are also seeing couples that are wanting to embryo freeze and increasing that because they want to delay having a family, but just also more couples who are struggling to conceive as well.
With the increase of women who are seeking fertility treatments, is there enough sperm to match the demand?
No, there's not. We have a real shortage, particularly in Victoria, where it's very difficult to import sperm from overseas. So we do have a limited number of sperm donors. And currently I have 300 women waiting for sperm donors on my waiting list.
300 women. Okay. And what's the sort of volume of sperm that will come in? Like, what's the waiting time for those 300 women?
The waiting time is we don't get many men coming into the clinic to donate. We might get maybe three or four locally a year that come into the clinic to donate. And we've just received approval that we can import sperm from Europe. But that's still going to probably be a six-month process before the sperm arrives in Australia.
Why are we seeing so few men? You reckon four a year?
I think it's just maybe they get a little bit of cold feet. So a lot of them, they have to do three sessions of counselling. And during that counselling, some of them might get cold feet when they find out what it really involves and what's going to happen. And in Victoria, the child can find out who they are and access information about them when they're 18. So that does turn a lot of men off when they find that out. So we don't get many men coming in to donate their sperm. And even if they start to donate and start the counselling session, they usually get cold feet before they actually do it.
That's really interesting. Is there Is there any thinking around trying to, you know, you run public health campaigns, but running a campaign saying become a sperm donor?
Yes, we can do that, but we have to get Victorian government approval before we run a sperm donor ad. Yeah. So we do have some advertising, but that always, before we create an ad, it has to be approved.
Sean's case that we've been talking about, the single man who's going to have a child through surrogacy, it seems unique. It's the first time in Victoria. Do you think more single men might try and pursue surrogacy?
Yeah, I hope his story, you know, is a positive one, and it encourages men to actually do what he has done. There are a lot of single men out there. I know we've got a lot of single men at the moment coming in to freeze their sperm. And so there are a lot of single men out there, and I hope his story does inspire other men to do the same thing, even though it has been a very long journey for him to find both an egg donor that was suitable and also a surrogate. So he got there in the end, and I travelled along the journey with him, and it was a difficult process.
Yeah, it's always such a difficult process for people who are, you know, either socially infertile or medically, obviously, to try and get to that point. Do you think we need to think about changes in the way that we do these things to try and make it easier for people?
I think it would be great if we could. You know, it would be easier. So, for instance, you're not allowed to advertise for a surrogate. You have to find a surrogate that's either a friend or a family member. So even if those laws changed and people could actually advertise for surrogacy, in other countries they pay for surrogates. I think if women were getting payment for carrying a baby, there might be an increase in surrogacy then. But that's illegal in Australia to pay a surrogate. And even with egg donation and sperm donation, if men and women were being paid to do it, then that would probably increase the numbers of people that would actually give their sperm and give their eggs as well.
Mm. We haven't got time to go through the moral dimensions there, but obviously some people raise the sort of ethical, I should use, rather than the word moral.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Lynn Burmeister is a leading fertility specialist based in Melbourne. This is Drive.